Exodus chapter 21. And our text for today is the verse 2. Exodus 21 and verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Tommy was what we would call a personal worker. That is, he would visit the sick and go to the hospitals, read and pray with individuals. When the opportunity presented itself, Tommy would give out gospel tracts. Indeed, he would seize the opportunity of preaching in gospel mission halls and in church services. Indeed, this man, Tommy, had a mission hall of his own. And he would conduct a service, and after church service there, every Sabbath evening. Tommy was a great and godly wee man. And I will always be thankful to the Lord for him. Because Tommy Ryan's led me to Christ. In Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, on the 5th of May, 1969. Church didn't have a minister at that time. It was just newly formed. My wife and I were involved at that time in the formation of the congregation. And Tommy would go along on a Monday night, and he would bring a message from the Word for the young people in the congregation. I counted myself as one of the young people in those days. And so I would go on a Monday night, and I did so for about 3 months. When, one Monday night, I was sitting in the pew and came under conviction when Tommy was closing in prayer. And I remember praying, Lord, don't let me leave this church tonight without getting saved. Tommy closed in prayer and went to the door. We were filing out past him. And as I shook his hand, or he shook my hand, he held on to it, which he had never done before. He said, why do you not see it? Stood talking to me for 2 or 3 minutes. And I said, all right, Tommy, I want to get saved tonight. Just a little wooden building, and he brought me back in again up. At the side of the pulpit was a door. The door led into a room which we used as a prayer room. That night, Tommy Ryan's led me to the Lord. He read from Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm very thankful for Tommy for doing that. I'm very thankful for that night. And I can say then, oh happy day, that fix my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I'll never forget that night. There's something else about that night that I will not forget. Tommy, he always wore a badge or a pendant as lapel. And I took particular notice of it that night. It had three words on it. Nothing else, just three words. The three words were, saved to serve. Saved to serve. There was no doubt Tommy Ryan was a man who lived out those words. He was saved to serve. He was a great wee man. He was a wee man. And he was a dear soul. And I thank the Lord for him. But those words, saved to serve. And I often thought of those words long after the Lord saved me that night. And then the Lord called me into the ministry. Evidently the Lord has saved me to serve him. And when you look at this portion of scripture that we have read in Exodus chapter 21, we see set out for us in the teaching of this Hebrew servant, we have a picture of what every true Christian ought to be. And what every true Christian has been saved to do. Saved to serve. We are all, as God's people, saved to serve. And as we look here at this Hebrew servant, one is first of all to notice the servant and his labors. The servant and his labors. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So there's reference made to his labors. In this 21st chapter of Exodus, the Lord begins by declaring his judgments, his laws, his statutes with regard to the regulation and the social and civil life of the Israelites. And so here is God's law governing the responsibilities of servants and the responsibilities of masters to their servants. And looking at what God has to say about servants, we have a picture of the Christian and his or her life of service. And the first thing we notice about this Hebrew servant is that he was purchased. He was purchased. And if I buy an Hebrew servant, I want to point out here that the Bible is not teaching slavery here. Far from it. Sometimes when families became very poor and perhaps they owed a lot of money to their creditors, either the husband or a son would be taken. And he would go and work for the person that the money was owed to. And that way he would pay off his debt. You've only to read 2 Kings chapter 4, where you recall the widow woman had no food left and no oil in the cruse. And her sons were going to be taken away from her to serve their masters, to pay off the debt that was owed. That's what this is about. It's nothing to do with slavery. Rather, we see how the Lord, through these statutes and commandments, is protecting the servant. As we read in verse 1 or verse 2, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh year shall go out free for nothing. heaven, he has the freedom to leave his master. But what we do notice is, as we already pointed out, he was purchased. That is, his master gave money for him to the family that owed money. Or sometimes, as you're able to read in chapters 21, 22, and 23 of Exodus, if someone stole from an individual, well, rather than send them to prison, the thief would serve the person that they had stolen from. But here the Lord says now they can only serve 6 years. And so we see how the Lord was protecting the servant. And we notice then in the verse 2, the Lord said, if thou buy an Hebrew servant. So the servant was purchased. So when the person was bought, that person was to serve the one who had purchased them, who had given money for them. For 6 years at least, the servant would belong to their master and was obliged to serve them for 6 years. If at the end of 6 years they didn't want to serve anymore, the Lord said, this is my law, this is my commandment, that servant can go out free. So we see how the Lord protected the servant. But this servant was paid for. If thou buy an Hebrew servant. You and I have been bought. The Lord bought us out of the slave market of sin. We were slaves to Satan. Slaves to sin. Slaves to this world. And God has bought us. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20. Ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. There it is. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body belongs to God. We're not our own. We don't live unto self. We don't live for self. As believers, as Christians, we're to live for God. The Lord has bought us. The Lord paid the price. When he went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. For we're not redeemed. We're not bought with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but we are bought with the precious blood of Christ. A far greater price was paid for our salvation. Listen to the words of Paul, once again, this time 1 Corinthians 7, verses 22 and 23. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. See? We are Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Because God has bought us. Yes, in our man in his secular employment, he serves and does work for his employer. But in doing that, he serves God. He makes sure that he does the job right and to the glory of God, whatever it is. So having been bought by Christ, we belong to him. Therefore, we're to serve him. And since we are his servants, he is our master. We are God's servants. God is our master. That means we are to obey his orders. We are to obey His laws. We are to obey His commandments. Because He has bought us. We belong to Him. He is our master. So we are, you see, saved to serve. The day the Lord bought us, He saved us. We're saved to serve. As well as the Hebrew servant being purchased, we see also his position. The Lord said, if thou buy an Hebrew servant. The Hebrew man was purchased, and he knew immediately what his position would be. His position would be a servant. When his master paid the price for him, he knew what he would be doing. He knew that he would be serving the one who bought him. That was his position. When thou shalt buy an Hebrew servant, first of all, regarding his position, it was clear. His position was clear. Notice carefully the words. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, doesn't say, if thou buy in Hebrew to be a servant. No. From the moment the purchase was made, the man knew he was a servant. He was bought as a servant. He was bought as a servant, just like you and I, dear Christian. We are bought as servants. So that every blood-bought child of God is a servant. Now, in what capacity we serve the Lord? Well, that is between the individual Christian and the Lord. People can serve the Lord at home. Isn't that what the Lord told Legion? Legion wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord said to Legion, no, go home. Go home. And tell your friends what great things the Lord had done for you. There was a service. It was at home. And so every believer can serve the Lord at home. And some the Lord is pleased to call to the mission field or to a pulpit ministry. But the point is this. The day the Lord saved us, He saved us to serve. When, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, if thou buy a servant, so he was bought as a servant. Just as you and I were bought as servants to serve the Lord. The Savior didn't purchase us with his own blood now just to sit at ease in Zion. The Lord did not purchase us with his own blood for us to glide through life and do nothing. We're saved to serve. Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. There's it again. Listen to those words. As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're to serve the Lord with all of our heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord. doing service as to the Lord. So whatever we do, wherever our vocation in life is, and wherever it may be, we are to do service as to the Lord. Always remember, before I came into the ministry, worked in an engineering factory. Wasn't saved at that time. But I knew one young man in that place who was a Christian. And they always remarked that before the bell rang or the horn blew in the morning indicating time to start work, this young man, I always saw walking across the factory floor about 10 minutes before the horn blew indicating where to start work. Always saw walking across the floor so that he would be at his workbench and he'd be ready to work at 8 o'clock when the horn blew. That in contrast to some other boys that strolled in with their hands in their pockets about 10 minutes late and expected to be paid from 8 o'clock. What was that young man doing? He was doing the will of God. He was doing it unto the Lord. He impressed me, who was, and I was unsaved at the time, but that was one thing I noted about him. So it should be. Doing the will of God and doing it from the heart. So it was clear for this Hebrew servant regarding his position. Something else, not only was it clear, it was also complete. Mention is made regarding the purchase of the Hebrew servant that if he came in by himself, verse 3, if he came in by himself, then after his years of service, he may go out by himself. Now there we have an interesting phrase. If he came in by himself, those words may be rendered by himself. If he came in by himself, if he came in with his body. You may think that's a rather strange translation, but that's what the words mean. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, and if he came in with his body. The reference there, the meaning there is that when he served his master, it was no half-hearted service. He gave the service to his master with his whole body. The whole body was the master's. And when you look at it, he had a single master. He only served one master. He served the one who had purchased him. Luke 16, verse 13 tells us, no servant can serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we either serve God alone. He's God. We belong to him. Servant had a single master. The servant was surrendered to his master. We see that in those words. If he came in by himself, or if he came in with his body, his whole body was given to his master for at least 6 years. his master owned him. Is that what we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20? Ye are not your own. Ye have been bought with a price. We belong to God. He came in by himself. He came in with his whole body. The Hebrew servant gave his whole body to his master. Now there's a parallel between the Hebrew servant and the Christian who has been bought and paid for. We belong to the master. What are we to give him? Listen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're to present our body. Our whole body to the Lord. And say, Lord, take my body. And if we pray that and say, Lord, take my body, we're saying, Lord, take my all. And use it for thy glory. Take my life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless freedom. As well as the purchase and the position of the servant, we also have the period. Because in our text it says, if thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. It was the law of God protecting the servant, that the servant would not be held against his will by his master. And so God's law declared he can serve 6 years. And at the end of the 6 years, if he chooses to do so, he must be allowed to go out free. There was the period. And in the seventh year, he didn't need to serve his master anymore. He was free to leave him. So we might ask ourselves, how many years of our life have we given to the Lord in his service as our master? Perhaps we've given to the Lord our whole life from the moment we were saved. And we have given to him our life. Consecrated it, Lord, to him. I remember the Easter Convention of Dr. Paisley's Church, the Martyrs Memorial. Saturday night was mission night. The emphasis was upon, the focus was on our missionaries. And a preacher would be there to preach the word, and he always preached it. Challenging word about young people giving their all to the Lord. If the Lord wanted them in the mission field, they were prepared to go. It was always quite a response to that. Now, not all of those young people went to the mission field. Wasn't the Lord's will for them to go to the mission field, but what I always admired about them was that they indicated they were willing to go. They If the Lord wanted them on the mission field, they were saying, "Lord, here am I, send me." You couldn't get on better than that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You notice there are two numbers there in that verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Six is the number of man. And so we apply that to the words of our verse 2. 6 years he shall serve. That was his responsibility. That was this man's responsibility, to serve his master for 6 years. If he didn't want to serve anymore, then the seventh year marked the completion. We know that number seven is the number of completion or perfection. In this case, we can apply it to the Hebrew servant. In the seventh year, he completed the service. He could go out free for nothing. Service was complete in the seventh year. But surely for the Christian, surely the Christian does not mark his service for the Lord in years, six or seven. His service is complete when the Lord says, "Come up higher." When the Lord takes that Christian away from this scene of time, that's when his work is complete. That's his seventh year, if you like, when his life is finished. So his service on earth is finished. He will serve the Lord in heaven, of course. And over in 2 Timothy, we read there about the great apostle and how he completed his service. It wasn't after 6 or 7 years. It was at the end of his life. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered." The word "offered" means sacrifice. Sacrifice for the cause of Christ, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." The word "departure" there is used to describe a great vessel moving out from the harbor, going out to sea, pull up the anchor, and to set sail for another destination. That's the word that's used here with Paul. Used. The time of my departure, pulling up the anchor, and going now to another shore. Time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." Listen, "I have finished my course." No, not after 6 or 7 years. He finished his course at the end of his life. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Saul was sealed to serve. And he served the Lord with his whole body. You recall, you're familiar with the record of his conversion. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, on the road to Damascus, to take hold of believers and imprison them. In verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, the Lord appeared unto him, you recall. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Their service. And he's only met the Lord. The Lord's only met him. And yet Paul says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He's saved on the Damascus road. He was saved to serve. And you go down the chapter to verse 15. And the Lord had sent Ananias, you recall, to see Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, in verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. For the service. He was saved to serve. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. Saved to serve. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer thine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. So we put our heart into the Lord and his work, his service. What is it that governs our heart? It is to be the Lord. As our heart is to be thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. The servant and his labors. We have the servant and his liberty. As we have learned, the servant had liberty to leave his master after 7 years. In the seventh year, he could leave. That was the law of God. The master could not compel the servant to stay. The Lord protected the servant, but they would not be held against their will. And if thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. There was his, would be his decision. His decision. The decision was his own. The servant was free to do as he pleased. He could say in the seventh year, I don't want to serve my master anymore. And he was free to leave. He was not tied to his master, as it were, by ball and chain. He was at liberty to go. He was free to leave. How very sad it is when those who profess to know the Lord leave off serving the Lord after a few years. And they may not declare it publicly and come out openly and say it, but their heart says, I don't want to serve the Lord anymore. I don't want to be under the laws and the commands and the statutes of my master. I want to live my own life. And sadly, we've come across individuals like that over the years. Is there anything better than serving Christ as Master and Lord? Is there anything more blessed than serving Christ, our Master? Why would we want to say to the Lord, Lord, I'll only give these 6 years of my life? Would we not want to say, Lord, I will give you every year of my life. I will give you every day and every month and every year of my life until thou dost say to me, come up higher. Because of the Lord's words last week, the opening verses of Acts, regarding the Lord Jesus, he began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken. By the grace of God, I would like to be able to say that too. To do and to teach, to serve the Lord until the day. Why would we say after 5 or 6 or 7 years, that's enough? I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. Surely if we're sealed to serve, that service will last a lifetime. It lasted a lifetime for Saul of Tarsus. What did he say in Philippians 1:21? For to me to live. It's a lovely way to put it, isn't it? For to me to live is Christ. Just living is Christ. And to die is gain. George Whitefield said, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I would live them all for Christ. I would live them all. Have the decision, then you have the departure. If an Hebrew servant decides not to serve his master after 6 years, he was free to leave. Verse 3. So there's his departure. It is sad when Christians come to that decision in their life that they no longer want to be involved in the Lord's work and in the Lord's service. It is sad to see professing believers depart from the service of the Lord and go away to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil. Over in Colossians, we read about such an individual. And we read in Colossians, in chapter 4, and there, in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record, that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So there's Epaphras, and there is Luke, and there is Demas. Three of them, all involved in the Lord's work. But then when we get over to 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, one of those men is mentioned again. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Paul's appealing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, because Paul's in prison. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And as they parted in the Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia, only look at Luke. Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is, there it is, departed. He's gone to serve the world. The one who used to serve with me is gone to serve the world. He's given to the Lord a few years, but not his whole life. Sadly, the day came when they decided to serve the world and not his master anymore. You have the desolation of this Hebrew servant. Notice when the Hebrew servant decided to leave his master, we see his desolation, verses 3 and 4. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. Speaks to us of his desolation. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. See how the Lord's taking care of the servant. Verse 4, if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. He'll lose out. In other words, the Hebrew servant would lose out if he only served his master 4, 5, 6, or 7 years. He would lose out. The Christian who does not serve the Lord with all of his life, with all of his body, with all of his faith, will lose out. You think of Paul. He served the Lord with nothing less than his all. For to me, to live is Christ. And when his service on earth was finished, it wasn't his decision. For I am thy rather to the Lord. Going to another man, I'll serve the Master. And what did the Lord say? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. And I have no doubt when the Lord gave to Paul that moment, the crown of righteousness, that he said to Paul, well done, my good and faithful servant. Just one point, and I'm finished. You have the servant and his labors, the servant and his liberty. The servant and his love. His love. Verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. What was it that would keep that Hebrew servant serving his master? His love for his master. There you have, first of all, the servant's plainness. If he shall say plainly, that is, if he says it clearly, without any ambiguity at all, I love my master, then he would continue serving the rest of his day. But surely isn't that what encourages us to serve our Master? All our days, can we not say today with hand on heart and say plainly, I love my Master. I love my Savior. I love my Lord. I will not go out. I will stay and serve Him. It was His plainness. You have His priority. Notice again what He said, and if the servant shall say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Notice, I will love my master, my wife, my children. Priority in the servant's life was the Lord. The Lord came first. I love my master, my wife, and my children. He didn't say, I love my children and my wife and my master. The master came first. That was his priority. Much more to say in that, but time is beaten. As then we have his piercing. You look there in verse 6, whenever the servant shall say plainly, I love my master, then his master shall bring him unto the judges representing the people. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. There's a whole message in that verse alone. In other words, when the servants shall say, I love my master, I'm going to stay here and serve him all my days. The master will take him before the judges representing the people. So he's really saying, I'm going to serve my master. And he's telling everybody, I'm going to serve my master. I'm not going out free. And the master took him to the door and bore his ear through with an awl. He bore the mark of a servant. It was an indication he was going to serve his master. What do we read? And he shall serve him forever. And you turn to Psalm 40, verse 6. We know that Psalm 40 is a messianic psalm. Psalm 40 and verse 6. We read about Christ. And Christ says, and he shall open my ear, shall bore through my ear. And you look at Christ, did Christ serve his master with anything less than his all? No. He served his master, his heavenly Father, until the day he was taken up. And he's still serving. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 days he shall serve, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Saved to serve. Let's remember those three words. As I remember them from the day I was saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Well, loving God and blessed Father, we bless Thee for the opportunity to serve Thee. We know, Lord, in an earthly capacity, the servants, Buckingham Palace, recorded as a privilege to serve the Queen of England. But here we are called. Serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. O Lord, bless thy word. Use it to challenge our hearts. And Lord, help us to make our heart thy royal throne. You will. with us now, dear Lord, as we part the one from the other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide in the name with us now and forever. Until we are called to higher service. In the Lord's great name we pray. Amen.